Today's readings present us with two plans. In the first reading from the book of Exodus, we find God's first revelation to Moses in the burning bush. As it says, the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. This is a great symbol of God, God who is love, and reminding us that the love of God is like a fire that gives light and zeal and the warmth of his peace. But in the gospel, we find a very different plant. Not a burning bush, but a fig tree that has no figs. It bears no fruit, so that, as Jesus says, it's simply exhausting the soil. And so he says, cut it down. And he says that twice. Elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus tells us what happens to bushes like this. He says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So, Jesus is saying, cut down this bush and throw it in the fire. And so we have fire again. But not the fire of divine love that we see in the burning bush, but now a fire that consumes a dead thing and destroys it. Lent is all about God's love, especially as revealed so sublimely by his cross and resurrection. And Lent is also about how we choose to respond to that love. Do we choose to accept his love and love him in return, or do we choose to reject his love and not love him in return? Or to put it another way, do we choose the fire of his love and burn like the burning bush of Moses, filled with life, light, and zeal? Or do we choose to reject the fire of his love and instead waste the good things he gives us, not bearing fruit, eventually being cut down and thrown into the fire of destruction? Inevitably then, Lent should lead us in part to meditate on the fires of hell. Some would say that in his love and mercy, Jesus could never send anybody to hell. But elsewhere, Jesus tells us that it's our own actions, our own choices that condemn us. So he warns us today, if you do not repent, he says, if you do not repent, you will all perish. And again, he says that twice. In his mercy, he pays for our sins on the cross, but in his justice, he respects our choices. Our choice is to accept that mercy and repent, change our lives, and love as he commands. Excuse me. Or choice is to waste his mercy by choosing a life of sin. Think of it. Every day we make choices to love God or not, to accept his mercy or not. When we choose to love God and our neighbor as Jesus teaches us by obeying the commandments and following the teaching of the church and truly placing Jesus first in everything we do, whether we're at work or at school, at play or at home, and in everything we think, do, and say, if we do that, we are choosing to live with Jesus and his Father and the Holy Spirit and all the saints right here and now. In other words, we're choosing to live the life of heaven right now on earth. So that when we die, we continue that trajectory of our choices, if you will, and that life of Christ is perfected in the glory of heaven. But the opposite is also true. If we choose not to love God and accept his mercy, if we live lives where God isn't first in our lives, where we reject the commandments or the church's teachings or pick and choose which ones we want to follow or how far we want to follow them. If we do that, we're choosing not to live with Jesus, but to treat him as if he were a stranger or an interesting acquaintance or perhaps a powerful connection that we can use when we're in trouble. In short, we're choosing to live life without Jesus and choosing not to live the life of heaven here on earth. So that when we die, that choice not to live the life of heaven, to live life without him, endures forever. And that, my friends, is what hell is all about. It's like the fruitless fig tree. During life, it enjoys the sun, the soil, and rain, all the gifts that God pours down on it. But it wastes it all because it doesn't bear fruit. And so in the end, it loses it all and is cut down and burned. It's the same with us. During life in this world, we enjoy all the good things that God gives us. Good food, health, friends, family, laughter, sports, games, sexuality. Not to mention the consolations of the church in turning to Christ in need. We suck up all His love and mercy just like the fig tree sucks up the sun and the soil. Life is good, but all of it comes from God. Not just the religious stuff, not just the commandments and the gospels, all the good things of the earth. They come from God and belong to Him. So if on earth we love His gifts, but we don't love Him, we choose just to enjoy His stuff, but not to love Him and not to live with Him. And in the end, in death, we lose it all. In hell, the rejection of God and His goodness is, so to speak, perfected. There is nothing good in hell. No good health, only pain. No water, no food, no sleep. No sun, no moon, not even the stars. Not the company of a loving family or friends. No, only loneliness in the frightful company of the devil and the condemned. No hope. No love. Obviously, it's difficult to put into words what hell will be like, what it will be like to have nothing from God, nothing good, because we've never experienced that. We all, even when we're in dire straits, we all experience something good, whether it's the sun shining or breathing fresh air. None of us have ever experienced what hell will be like, the absence of all good. But Jesus Himself tries to give us a specific notion of what hell will be like. In the Gospels, He calls hell, He says, a fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He says, hell is the unquenchable fire where their worm does not die. He calls it the outer darkness and eternal punishment. And in the book of Revelation, we read that the damned in hell, it says, will be tormented with fire and sulfur, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night, forever and ever. This is what we choose by our sins. Now, of course, not all sins lead to this eternal punishment. Only sins that are mortal lead to hell. Sins that involve three things: grave matter, free choice, and full knowledge of what we're doing. But some sins aren't mortal, they're only small or venial, sins that don't involve something seriously important, and we don't maybe completely freely choose or know what we're doing. We don't go to hell for the venial sins we commit. We can and do live in love with Jesus even as we commit these small sins every day. Because we live in love imperfectly, but we don't choose to be without Him. But the problem with a venial sin is that it so easily leads to mortal sin. For example, you get used to telling little lies, and pretty soon the truth just doesn't seem important to you. And it becomes very easy to tell big lies about important things. You figure out, if I tell a small lie to get out of a small problem, pretty soon you figure out, well, if I tell a real big lie, then I can get out of real big problems. Venial sins are like throwing tiny marbles one after another on a floor. One or two marbles don't matter very much, but pretty soon the whole floor is covered with marbles, and you try to walk across that floor and you'll slip and fall and break your neck. A life that embraces venial sins will surely lead to a life filled with mortal sins, a life that leads to hell. On the other hand, a life where God is first and foremost, a life filled with love for God, a life filled with striving daily to live as He created us to, is a life filled with God and all that is good, a life that shares in the kingdom of heaven here on earth and leads to its perfection in the world to come. Eternal life of light, happiness, peace, joy, laughter, and a deep, true, abiding love with God and with all the saints and angels. As St. Paul writes elsewhere, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it even entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. This is what God made us for. This is the fruit of accepting His love and all His gifts. This is what we lost by our sins and what Christ came into the world to return to us. He created us to be filled with the fire of His love. He created us for heaven. And He died on the cross to save us from the fires of hell. This is, in the end, what Good Friday and Easter are all about. Heaven and hell. So this is what Lent is all about. Choosing between heaven and hell. What do we choose? In a few moments, we'll kneel as we enter the mystery of the real presence of our Lord Jesus Christ crucified, kneeling at the foot of His cross. Immediately before that happens, I'll pray, graciously accept this oblation of our service, order our days in Your peace, and command that we be delivered from eternal damnation and counted among the flock of those You have chosen. Here we offer to Jesus the oblation of our service. In other words, we offer Him the sacrifice of our whole lives to serve Him by living and loving with Him at every moment in this world. And as He unites our sacrifice to His own sacrifice of the cross, our lives are united to His, and we begin to experience the first fruit of living with Him on earth, a foretaste of the peace of living with Him in heaven. But He promises us more than a foretaste. He promises that by the grace of the cross, we will, if we continue to live with Him in this world, this peace will one day be perfected, and we will be delivered from the eternal damnation of hell and counted among the flock of the saints in heaven. In ancient times, God revealed Himself under the appearance of a burning bush. Today, He reveals Himself to us under the appearance of a piece of bread and a cup of wine, and comes to us to share the fire of His divine love. Let us leave here today burning with that love, filled with light, zeal, and the warmth of His peace, and committed to live life, making good use of all the gifts He gives us, bearing good fruit and abundant fruit. And throughout this Holy Lent, let us keep before us the truth that Christ so loved us that He would both die on the cross to give us eternal life and mercifully warn us, if you do not repent, you will all perish. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.